Blog Talk Radio.
John, along with Dr. Suzanne and Brother Norm, and we're here and just ready to engage in another topic and just have a good time in the Word of God. For those of you that have tuned in through the Internet, you can call in if you choose to, 347-237-4054. And for anyone who would like to tune in by Internet, it's Blog Talk Radio, and you would type in, "We Can Begin Again." We are an interactive Bible study, and we come together every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock just to just have a good time in the Lord. And we have had a wonderful time from so many brothers and sisters from across the states. So, again, we do thank you for tuning in. And as we have prayer, we're going to open up with our topic, which is the cost of discipleship. And we're going to have an interactive Bible study. We're going to throw out some questions and, you know, basically just, you know, just kind of have a discussion on what that may mean to you. All right? Again, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to start off. Father God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts. Father, keep us, you know, focused on your word. We ask, Heavenly Father, for those that are listening, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would be a blessing to those who are listening and for those who are tuning or want to share. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would all be on one accord. Father, we just ask that you would just unveil the mysteries of your word. And let us, Heavenly Father, just have a good time in the Word of God. We pray that you would bless the sick and afflicted. Pray those, Heavenly Father, for those that know you and those that don't. Father, we just know that all things we can do through Christ will strengthen us. So we come together on one accord just to give you the honor, glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to open up on, and again, we're going to try to do something a little different this evening, and we're just going to throw around some questions as we go through Scripture. We are starting off with Luke 14, 25 through 35. Luke 25 through 35. Amen? We'll give you an opportunity to... locate that, and then we're going to read it, and just more so, just you know, kind of just chew on it, and you know, see what the Lord has to say. Amen. Luke 14.
25 to 35.
Amen. So yes.
The cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost, see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let us hear." and I'm reading from the Spirit Dickens Bible, which is a New International Version.
Amen. Amen. For the first discussion, would like to ask is the cost of a disciple. Question is, your understanding of the cost of a disciple. What is your understanding of the cost of a disciple from the scripture?
Well, the cost, according to the beginning of the scripture, verse from 25 to 27, letting us know. The Lord was telling these followers that the cost would be their family, would be the relationship they have, they share. And we could probably look at that today in basically the same way. If you change your lifestyle and decide to separate yourself and live another lifestyle with other people, your old friends, the family, they may not trust you. They may, doubt your sincerity and it is a challenge because you're changing. You're getting
John, Dr. Suzanne, and the other brother. You know, the course of discipleship, that is so deep. It is, it's something that we all in the body of Christ have to give an account of and to really seriously think about what we're giving up. As Christ did give up his life for us, so shall we be the example of him giving up. Discipleship is denying ourselves, as Sister Suzanne said, denying ourselves. It's like dying to ourselves so someone else could live. What we would do, we won't do. You know, it's like I'm going to be the example of Christ. So because I am the example of Christ, that I might want to do, I won't do, because I don't want to be a hindrance or a block to someone else. Mm-hmm. I have to think about the other person, not myself, as Christ did for us.
Amen.
You know, he Amen. Didn't think of himself. He wanted that cup to pass from him. But mm-hmm. because of, I don't know if I'm going there where y'all are going, but because he saw beyond his discomfort and saw someone else. And that's what we have to do. We have to forget about compromising, or like the scripture said, if you would give up mother, father, sister, brother, if you forgive up all that and all the friends or whatever for Christ's sake,
mm-hmm.
that's
Amen.
Discipleship, giving up,
Amen.
Dying to ourselves, dying so someone else could live.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Dying for someone else to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and basically, you know, to add on, you know, to that, you know, what everyone has also said is, I look at it in terms of relationship.
Okay.
And when I say relationship, meaning that we should not, as a disciple, we should not love anything
All right.
more than Christ.
Yep,
more than Christ.
Right.
Christ comes first in anything that we have, whether it's money, it doesn't make a difference what it is, that we should love Christ more than that.
Right.
And if we love Christ more, then we don't have a problem with giving that up. We don't have a problem with separating ourselves from that, because if there's anything that we love greater than Christ, then we have a hard time letting go of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hold it because it's something that we hold as a treasure, and Christ should be a treasure in our lives.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else would like to make a comment? Anyone else would like to make a comment on that? Amen. And, you know, again, we're going to do a little twist this evening, and, you know, we're going to go through Scripture, but also
mm-hmm.
Throw out some questions. The next question is, how does that apply to you? How does that apply to you, this cost of discipleship? How does that apply to you in your life?
I think that in my case, you know, being a Christian and look at what Christ went through, and him being a role model for me to be a Christian, meaning I'm following Christ, and he took a lot of heavy blows and challenges and I was crucified, and sometimes you look at the problems that I personally face, we face, and sometimes we can think they're overarching or overreaching our abilities. But anyway, we have to look at them on the same level as a Christian. We have to bear and go forward and follow it in the same path that Christ did. And people are going to challenge you. You're going to be ridiculed. You have to be prepared for that. You know, that's a part of being a Christian and maintaining faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I look at the discipleship in terms of my life, when it says, how does it apply to me, I look at that there are, you know, opportunities that come about in my walk with Christ that I may have done before. And when I see that temptation may be there to want to to walk that old walk right. that we walk. And sometimes that temptation wants to pull us back to our old selves. But once we develop a relationship with Christ, you know, we become convicted. It's almost like a conscience bearer. You know, if we know that if we do it, that we're going to be totally wrong, and we also know that we're going to be accountable. So I see that within my life, having to be able to walk a steadfast walk, because if I don't, then those that know that I am a Christian and I am a disciple of Christ, they're watching me how I handle situations.
Right. That's right.
If I choose to cross or straddle the fence, so to speak, then by straddling the fence, then what happens is people begin to start to question my relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is that relationship with Christ real? You know, so I become almost like, as the kids might say, a counterfeit. Mm-hmm. You know, you do one thing and you choose something totally different.
Because in that position, you're not really taking a position.
Right.
You're just willing to go either way, you know.
Right.
You're not saying, I'm totally with Christ, and I'm going this direction. You're saying, I can go either way, you know, and you don't want to be in that position. It's like tumbleweed, where the wind blows you. You have no foundation. You just blow as the wind takes you, you know.
And also you think about in terms of how things are going, how people look at Christians now. You know, not really believing that Christians are sold out to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many say, well, you know, when you hear the word Christian, it becomes almost like, oh, well, there is no real conviction. There is no belief that there is a real conviction because of, you know, the way the enemy has planned an attack on, you know, Christianity. Others who are maybe borderline or even those that don't believe, they really, really question our faith and our walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because they're no longer looking at what, they're no longer listening to what we say. Just like Paul says, how we are living epistles, people are reading us. And because they're reading us, we have to maintain a standard, you know. And I'm not saying that this walk is easy, because it's, God knows it's not easy. But in that same token, we have to consider the cost. And that's what it's all about, the cost of discipleship. And what we're and we have to have that mindset that it isn't about us, but it is about the kingdom of God. It's about bringing those that are in the darkness into his light, into his love, into denying ourselves because of the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to share and we have to be. You know, we in the body of Christ, we talk a good show. That's how it's happening. That's why the people out in the world look at us like we're a joke sometimes. And you know what bothers me? We don't have any power. And God is looking for the true worshipers, those that, not so much Sunday morning, but when you get in that intimate time, before you go to church, you know what? We're supposed to have that time with Christ, that when you do go out, people say, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? You know, and I don't know. It's the, we have to go deeper and definitely get closer to Christ, because people are dying out there. And we definitely have to be those lights.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's why, you know, the title is The Cost of Discipleship.
It is a cost.
You know? And I guess it becomes a question. You know, are we really ready to pay the cost to be a disciple? Are we ready to pay the cost? You know?
Yeah.
So it becomes a real question. So I think on a daily basis we have to constantly evaluate ourselves.
Yes,
you know,
daily.
Examine ourselves on a daily basis to make sure, you know, that we are still, you know, walk Christian walk. You know, because it's so easy to get lost.
And in that self-examination, you have to look at what you say. What you as a role model, you know, what you say, what your actions are, How do you treat people? Are you walking in a Christian path? You know,
mm-hmm.
what fruit are you actually bearing?
Because mm-hmm.
people are actually watching. And you can, mm-hmm. you can either serve as a minister spreading the gospel, or you can serve as a stumbling block for someone else reaching Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very, very careful about your motives and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this is so important for us to stay in the presence of God, and don't want the listeners to, by any chance, feel that we're so heavenly bound that we don't go through any trials or tribulations, or we can't slip. But what it is Christ. As long as we repent, and Christ, and we be honest with ourselves, and to know that, and I'm telling the listeners too, as quick as you, I'm sorry, okay, I'm sorry, just a minute, I have to briefly depart, excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, so we are continuing, as we continue, for those that have tuned in, we're talking about the cost of discipleship, the cost of discipleship. We did read the scripture, Luke 14:25-35, and we are just basically talking about that cost of discipleship. Okay, now we're bringing it home. When we bring it home, how does that apply to us in our life, in our walk? Amen? We're going to move on to the scripture, Luke 9:23-27. Luke 9:23-27. And again, for those of you that tuned in or even tuning in by internet, we're just doing something different. We're just throwing out questions and, you know, just more so just chewing on it and seeing what, you know, what it tastes like. You know, what does it taste like in our mouth once we chew on it and, you know, just make it, you know, a personal, how can I say it, relationship, you know, rather than talking about what the word says, but where are we at this time? Where is our walk at this time? And that, again, that's why we are an interactive Bible study. All right, for those of you that's tuning in, again, if you want to tune in by chat, you can just chat. You can type whatever you have to chat in, and that will be relayed. And for those of you that want to call in, you can call in 347-237-4054, and we would open up the mics for you to be able to join in on this wonderful discussion of the course of discipleship. Amen? Okay, we are looking at Luke 9:23-27. Does anyone have it?
I can read it. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it.
Mm-hmm.
What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose it or forfeit his very self?
Mm-hmm.
If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty powerful, that last piece, you know, that last piece. And as we continue on, again, you know, we're just throwing out, you know, some questions. What is the main principle that you find in the scripture or passage? The question is, what is one main principle do you find in this scripture?
Well, you have to deny yourself and your self-interest, your comfort zone. and follow Christ and be willing to carry that cross yourself as you follow Christ, as he did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to truly be Christian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you deny Christ, you'll be denied.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have to really take a stand.
And I think this speaks to me like on a daily basis, like practice occupational type level is that I can have my own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And my own goal, but they may not be what the Lord has.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I wake up every day and commit that day to the Lord, or look at the year, you know, Lord, this is what I'd like to do. This is what I would like to do. But if this is not your will, Lord, you in how, in whatever way, how was the Lord doing? So I may have a plan. My Lord, if my God's faith is relevant to me or place I go,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord makes it so far much better in my
life. Amen.
How that works. So I think it will say that myself is denying or denying your to work about thyself, not yourself, but yourself, and think yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
To think that God's will to fit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, so again, for those that are, you know, tuning in, we are on the course of discipleship, and we have just read Luke 9:23-27, and we're just basically chewing on that and seeing what the Lord, you know, has for us to experience at this time. I guess when I look at this, the main principle that I see here is also is denying ourselves, you know, and the thing that I look at is, and it says, what, the thing that grabs me more than anything is, it says, what is a man to profit if you gain the whole world,
wow.
then lose himself or suffer a loss. So to me, when I see that, is that I see that spiritual warfare that goes on, and that spiritual warfare says that I can have anything that I want as long as I deny Christ.
Right.
As long as I denounce Christ, then I can have anything that I want. I can have riches. I can have anything in the world as long as I denounce Christ. So when I see that, it's almost like it says, what does a man profit if he is to gain the whole world and lose his life? That means we'll never have opportunity to make it into kingdom heaven. We don't have that opportunity. So that's how I see that, you know, that to suffer that loss. You know, am I willing to give up the world for Christ? Am I ready to give up the riches of the world for Christ?
Yeah, I see that differently. I think that Lord blesses and will give, like you say, riches, success, and the way breaks up, you know, lifts people up and so forth. I think that is the scripture that is telling us the value. So that is what God has given us, this place that they get honor for, maybe the things, whatever success is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't understand the value of that, what here, the value of your salvation,
mm-hmm.
that you should understand that your salvation teachable step than your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your life or like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the teachable.
Well, I guess I should have said that because I was talking about, when I was talking about that loss, I'm talking about our soul. You know, the loss would be the soul, our ability.
Well, that's
or,
what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right, salvation is soul.
So you have looked under, I mean, well, of course, that's not saved, don't understand that my Christ is my salvation,
is
my their insurance, if you will. Or assurance so they would understand. So we do, those of us that have heard the gospel should understand the value of this salvation, that regardless of where you are on earth, you may be very comfortable, you may be uncomfortable, you may be, you know, towards the trials, or there may be challenges for you. Of wherever you are on earth, or whatever you're good or bad, that, or I should say challenges of time, that you're the most important thing that you will ever do in life for you is a future life.
Mm-hmm. I would consider that to be like godly principle.
Right.
You want to maintain those.
Mm-hmm. So even if you can have godly principles, good people that have.
Mm-hmm.
Godly.
You have to live by it.
You can live by it and still not be saved.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Regardless of, you know, we have some really nice Mormons, they're nice Catholics, there's nice Jehovah's Witnesses, there's nice Wiccans, there's nice Muslims. Not that I'm talking about, I mean, I don't want to get into the debate of religion and so forth, and, you know, and I'm certainly not one to defend Christianity, but what I'm saying is that you can live a good life, you can do all sorts of really nice, sweet things, you know, you can be Mother Teresa's little sister, but if you have not made Christ your personal Savior, if you have not committed your life to Christ, if you don't understand, just that alone, that's your salvation. So all the good stuff, all the nice and all of that is great, and that's what we need, and that's what the Lord says us out to do too. But of course, we do not get to heaven. We cannot get by not receiving Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a godly principle. I was actually let me clarify. Speaking of accepting Christ, it's like receiving a gift. There's nothing you did to earn it. It was something just given to you. The only thing you had to do is accept it.
Right.
And that's why I was considering more as godly principle. The mere fact of simply accepting the gift, because, you know, the gift is offered, but if the gift is offered, you don't accept it, and you're not living by godly principle, you know. That's what I was kind of looking at, you know. But you have to actually acknowledge that God has given you, and that's Jesus Christ. He gave his life, his only begotten Son, for our sins. So, you know, and so there's nothing we can personally do to justify that gift. It's something out of God's love for us that he offered this gift to us. We just have to accept it.
Amen. Amen. There is a scripture, and it says Matthew 16 through 24, and it really talks about, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That means to deny any worldly principles that we may have, take up the cross and follow me. And that's basically what he was saying to his disciples, and it's the same thing that he's saying to us, that we must take up our cross and follow him. We must be about God's business, building, you know, helping to build up the kingdom. That is our whole purpose of here, that we're here.
So the question is, here, so we say take up the cross, but what does the cross mean? Is that, you know, is that being poetic. What is the process? This is the process that the process. What did it take for you to really
please? Well, you can't go.
Because he, it's not that he was forced to take it. He was drugs. You know, I mean, he could have pissed. He died all by himself. He could have, I mean, there's things that they could have happened, but he gave up.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up his life and allowed things to happen. Lord, Father God, allow these things. So when we take up the cross, what's that? When Jesus took up the cross, it was the sin for life. There was pain in God. There was the burden of our sin. When we take up our cross, what is
it? I think it's very much the same thing as we're being Christians. We watch what Christ went through, and he didn't have to do it. You know, someone spitting on him, you know, throwing stones at him, cursing him, you know, all he had to do was just simply take your dead, and they would have been, you know. He did not react, you know, he was doing his Father's will, and staying focused and staying on track. We have to do the same thing. If somebody says, boo us, you know, we want to fight, you know, we're agitated, and as opposed to staying focused on what it means to you know, carry that cross, that burden, you know, which is what Jesus did. You know, he did not act in retaliation, and there's plenty of episodes or miracles, you know, where he controlled the sea and the elements, which he showed his power and brought people back from the dead, and for him to allow himself treated in this fashion, but he stayed true to what God expected of him or what God's will was for him. You know, we have to also do the same thing, you know, carry our cross and follow. And we're going to have to be faced with challenges, and whether it be sickness, loss of family, friends, loss of money, clothing, status, there's going to be some type of loss. Even if you look at Job, you know, he stayed faithful to God. You know, we have to do the same thing. That's really lifting that cross and following him. Not when things are easy, but even when things are very challenging and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Not giving up.
631, would you like to make a comment, or anyone else would like to make a comment? The question was posed out. What is the cross? What is the cross? Taking up the cross, what does that mean to you? Any comments? I don't know.
It's just what we're talking about. Just what we're talking about. Denying ourselves. You know, that's the cross.
Denying ourselves. Amen.
And I think also brotherly love. You know, you have to have love for your brother, your Christian brother. And for people that they were suffering, you know, how would Jesus deal with that situation, you know? And he dealt with people who were considered to be unclean, you know. But he said a person who, a healthy person does not need a doctor, a sick person does. So anyway, sometimes we can be on our own pedestal, you know, and feel there's some people that are not clean enough for us to deal with. Christ did not take that position. He took the position that if maybe you were unhealthy, you have problems, but I'm going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful about, you know, when we deal with people, how do we deal with them? We don't put ourselves on a pedestal. We also put ourselves in a position where we can be of use, of help and support and do God's work and be Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And that can truly be a challenging time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm thinking about taking up the cross, and as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to everything, I'm feeling in my spirit the cross, and I don't want to put it in this way as a burden, but that's what we need to have, a burden for people, a burden for souls, a burden that that denies us a burden to a burden and a hunger for the souls to come into the body of Christ. So that you know, and I know what the word says, you know, cast your burdens on the Lord and all that, but no, a burden for souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the cross is in my heart, a burden mm-hmm. for souls. That when I see that man or that woman, and when I see that little boy, my soul goes out to witness to them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that Christ loves you just the way you are? Jesus
mm-hmm.
loves you. And he died so you could live.
Amen.
I don't know.
Amen. Well, that's definitely a good question. You know, what does that mean, you know, to you, you know, in that
yeah.
question in terms of picking up your cross. What is your cross? You know,
mm-hmm.
what is it? What your cross? When I look at that, what is your cross? What is it that you struggle with the most?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
What is it that we have? What is it that we have that's holding us or preventing us from selling out, you know, to Christ? What is it that we all have a different cross to bear?
Mm.
You know, some may be money, some may be sexuality. I think it really depends on the person, you know, the individual. Are we willing to give up that? Because it says, whatever you lose, you will gain, and whatever
right.
you have to gain, you will lose. You know, so what is it that we love the most? You know, what is it that we love more than our Christ, than God?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's good.
You think about cross time, it only represented death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The cross represented death.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said something that's like a light bulb just went off when you said, because what you lose, you'll gain.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then the Lord gave up his life so that we would gain life.
Hallelujah.
We have the freedom to live, to really live,
mm-hmm.
and the freedom to seek him and not be bound up with religiosity and law, you know, and the misunderstanding of that. God
mm-hmm.
So possibly us taking up the cross is like saying that we're completely dedicated. If you think about it, when Jesus was walking to carrying the cross, that he was going to be nailed to be crucified
mm-hmm.
and was going to die on, there was no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody was sentenced to death,
mm-hmm.
there was no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
They were followed. There were no choices. They didn't give them a second chance, the choices or whatever. But God gives us a second chance. But it was because of his commitment to the cross and his dedication to the cause and his commitment to us that he's telling us to be dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
To be dedicated to the thing God, like Norman was saying, to be dedicated to the way,
mm-hmm.
and to others to give up, the life that new, to really
live. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I mean, as you put it before, Dr. Clay, is that the cross, you know, you think of it as being a burden and being death. You know, as which he was, but anyway, with Christ, I think it was a transformation of the word cross to from death to life.
That's good.
And my verse was following the cross, lifting that cross, and following you know the cross in every church, and the cross is something that's very important. You know, you see it everywhere. You know, but anyway, I think it also speaks of life. You know, Christ giving his life for us, that was that present, that gift that was given to us. We have to look at it in those terms as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is really a gift. And that's where that's the remnant of his life,
mm-hmm.
not a sign of death.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other question I'd like to close out. I'm sorry, sister, did you want to make a comment?
No, no, not at all. It's good.
And as we're looking at time, in what ways am I gaining the world and losing my very self?
Wow.
In what way am I losing, am I gaining the world and losing my very self? That's the question that's posed out now.
Gaining the world?
In what ways am I gaining the world and losing my very self? In other words, I guess what the question is asking is there anything that I'm gaining that is making me lose myself or my walk with Christ or something that I could probably strengthen myself to become,
wow,
to become a better Christian, to become a better disciple? Is there a cost?
Which may be like an example of somebody having a $1 million house, but anyway, they lose that relationship with Christ because the cost that they're paying for the house, they have to work, you know, longer hours. If you really need to have $1 million house, could you live in a $50,000 house or a $100,000 house and not have that burden that you're losing your relationship with Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you feel we have to have more because it has that status symbol, that significance of wealth, position, and we want people to see that. And so we have to lose that relationship, and we're willing to do whatever is necessary to be on that pedestal and be worshipped by, indirectly be worshipped by people, as opposed to being in good grace with God.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting our rewards here on earth as opposed to receiving our reward in heaven.
Now, let me understand that. I don't understand that.
I have a hard time with the question, too.
Yeah.
I think that when I was working before, like,
explain her the question. The question she's asking, she's confused with the question. How are you receiving that question?
That how is the world? How is being in the world a challenge to who I am with Christ? Am I hearing it right?
Is there anything that's preventing you from being all that you can be that Christ wants you to be?
I think that I struggle with one of the jobs that I've been. I kind of struggled with the job was so demanding. And it was always a struggle to try it was a struggle. And I had to, like, take stands, and sometimes stand was contrary to what others around me and a couple of people over me were thinking or would have me to do. But, it just made me, it was always in the, I had to keep Christ at the forefront of my mind. When you're working in the world and you're working with, and you know, and you're confronted with people that are not always saying sometimes, you know, it's good to fight a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I think also, you know, just tag along with that, what I was trying to say also is that what we personally value, what is our comfort zone, and that has significance to us. Sometimes you have to let that go and go and follow Christ and not worry about what people think about you as far
as
materialistic things, as opposed to, I'll give you an example, like, you know, to sit and talk with a homeless person. And so people look at it and say, you know, why are you dealing with this person when they're not educated, they're poor, they're diseased? Why are you wasting your time? You should be doing something more constructive with your time, working with people who are in a better position, you know. And you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for you're doing God's work.
Hmm.
If that makes sense. You're putting yourself out for that person because that's God's will. one of God's greatest commandments is to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be a challenge, you know, because, you know, we're worried about status and what people are going to think about us if we do this or we do that, you know. But a few ways to put your pocket and buy someone a sandwich and something to drink and sit down there and talk with them about God's holy word is doing God's will. You know, you can't worry about what other people think about what you're doing. And people have problems with Christ for doing that very thing, socializing with people that they consider to be undesirable. And God said, you know, Jesus said, you know, a healthy person doesn't need a doctor. A sick person does. So anyway, I'm going to work with that sick person.
Amen. Okay.
I'm not worried about what people think about this. You know, this is what God's will. This is God's way or God's will.
Amen. Did you want to make a comment on that, 631?
I just was thinking about how I used to lose myself in worrying about what people thought about me, and you know, it blocked my walk with Christ. You know, because, you know, I was a pleaser, always wanted to please, 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 and was losing myself, actually losing not myself, but myself in Christ, you know, because we do need to lose ourselves. But I'm talking about my identity as far as being a believer.
I'm looking at the assurance. You have like 10 seconds to complete.
Okay,
that.
I'm done. Praise the Lord. This was a good conversation.
Amen.
Amen.
I loved it. This was great.
Amen. We do thank each and every one of you for tuning in on this, and we had a great discussion. We hope to be able to do that every Wednesday and to be able to tune in with others from across the state so we can come in and see, just basically see what others are thinking and how we're feeling. Let's just take it to a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what Christ is saying, you know, what are we doing?
Amen.
You know, where are we at the time? Just self-examining ourselves. So that was mm-hmm. that was a good piece. We do thank everyone for tuning in. On our clock is showing that the time is up. And we look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday from mm-hmm. 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's been part of this. We do truly appreciate your and value your conversation and your comments, and please tune in with us again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
We love
God
you, but God loves you most.
Yes. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.